This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to the Extra Point Show now, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com for the all-new Kia K4 Sportage Telluride and EV9.
Hour two of the Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brayton Wilson filling in today along with Paul Hamilton, and joining us right now on the Wester Hotline, a good friend of not only the program but also the station as well, Matt Beauvais from WKBW-TV Channel 7 here in Buffalo. He's also the co-host of the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with Sal Capaccio. Matt, thanks again for taking some time to join us this morning. How are you on this fine Monday morning, sir?
I am great. How are you guys today?
Not too bad.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Hey, hold on, everybody. Here, wait a minute. Nobody told me that Beauvais was going to be on the air with me here.
Right? Oh.
Now, wait a minute here. I think I might have a tuna fish sandwich or something I got to go make or something. I mean, why is Beauvais on the air with me?
Two enemies who are just going to go at it for the next 20 minutes, Paul Hamilton and I.
I forgot my popcorn.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hey Paul. How did the Yankees series this weekend go? Do you mind me asking?
Well, luckily I was on vacation I was out of town and I wasn't really on social media, so I don't have a good grasp of what went on.
The only thing worse than Paul are the New York Yankees right now.
Mm. Man, those are some fighting words there. Well, Matt, certainly. Now focus for let's get back to football here, but football focus now. The Bills, preseason's over. They get the win on Saturday night over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and had a really nice bounce back performance compared to the game that they had against the Bears just six nights prior. What was the biggest thing you took away from the Bills preseason finale? I know usually with finales in the preseason, it's just kind of like the rando guys that are trying to either battle it out for a roster spot on the 53 or the rando guys that are trying to keep their football dreams alive in the NFL. What stood out to you, though, from that game?
I think Tyrell Shavers probably did enough to make the Bills' 53-man roster just with that ridiculous catch. I think he was on the bubble going into the game. And then when you make a play like that, I think it's hard to sneak somebody after something like that onto your practice squad, just because other teams will see the potential and the talent, and they'll try and unlock it if you don't. So to me, that's why I think Tyrell Shavers was probably the story of the game, the wide receiver. I think he's going to make the Bills' 53-man roster. That doesn't mean I think that somebody else will get cut. I just think the Bills will keep six wide receivers instead of five, which they sometimes usually do. So Shavers was pretty up there for me. I liked what we saw from Cole Bishop in the game. I think needing to see a little bit more confidence and a comfortability out of him was important as we get ready for the season, just because last week, you know, that was a big talking point. Sean McDermott had said several times, we're looking to see who is going to play safety alongside Taylor Rapp. And I think it's going to be Cole Bishop. And I think even though it was against backups, he probably did enough to show his coaches that, okay, I am ready for this. And the, yeah, there's going to be growing pains and there's going to be bumps along the road. But I do think that Cole Bishop has the highest ceiling of the group. And then after that, I think it's just kind of, okay, what do you make of all of these players who are on the bubble and the really tough decisions that they need to make between now and tomorrow? You know, they already kind of cut their first wave of players, but they still have like 25 more players that ultimately need to be cut by tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, you kind of addressed a couple of the position groups. A topic we're talking about today, Matt, is which position group intrigues you the most heading into the regular season. And you mentioned two of the groups with the wide receivers and also the secondary. I've also included the defensive front. That's the position group that I'm really kind of most interested in because I think there are a couple of question marks going in. And I agree with you that I think Tyrell Shavers is a lock now on the 53-man roster at wide receiver. What position group intrigues you the most to take part in this poll today?
I like your answer of the defensive line because that's what I would say also, just because I think you have some proven players in the NFL who I think could give the Bills some nice juice, and then you have the younger defensive linemen who have all flashed at times during this summer. Like Joey Bosa, you know, somebody who's been out there pretty much every day, has looked really, really good. Now, Joey Bosa's thing is, will Joey Bosa stay healthy? But I think all of a sudden you're going to have somebody who is as productive as Greg Rousseau on the other side of Greg Rousseau a pretty nice amount of time, which should make everybody on the defensive line also better. I like what we've seen out of Hoyt, but I know that means you're going to have to wait until week 6. But to me, that's not the worst thing because it feels like once the injuries start to bang up and you get a player who should be rejuvenated and fresh at that point when he comes back. So those are the two guys, like as far as edge rushers are concerned, that I'm excited about. And then on the interior, I really like TJ Sanders. I think TJ Sanders paired with Ed Oliver on obvious passing downs could provide them with some nice interior pass rush. Deion Walker has certainly flashed. He was another big story of that third preseason game. Don't really know what to expect from Ogunjobi if he's even on the roster after this 6-game suspension. I think he will be, but I think that he just provides a bit more depth. And then there was the Jordan Phillips news. Like, I'm still anticipating that Jordan Phillips is probably going to be on the practice squad.
Yeah.
So for me, like, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a player you know who can play. And if he's on the practice squad and just gets elevated a couple times early in the season, I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. So the only really, like, big questions to me in that room are probably Dwayne Carter and Ogunjobi. But, I mean, we're talking about, like, the 5th and 6th defensive tackle on this roster.
Right, and I'll make another point that I haven't made earlier today, but I think it's an absolutely valid point. Your big bugaboo over the last several years has been trying to get over the hump with Kansas City, and every time that you've played Kansas City in the playoffs, what's one thing the Bills have yet to be able to do in order to get over that hump? It's be able to get to Patrick Mahomes, be able to get to the quarterback. And I think that that's been such a point of emphasis, I feel like at least this offseason, of trying to find answers and bring in players that can get them over the hump. And that's part of the reason why I'm so intrigued, is who is it that they see as those players that can get to Mahomes or get to whoever they're playing in the playoffs, make life a living you-know-what for them, and find a way to bring that pressure like the Eagles did in the Super Bowl and help blow out the Chiefs in the big game.
I think now, and I don't know if I would have said this answer a month ago, but I think that's Joey Bosa. Now, Joey Bosa needs to stay healthy, and I think the Bills are going to be smart about it, but I think that Joey Bosa and Greg Rousseau are their two best pass rushing options for sure for those big moments. It's just getting Bosa to that point, and obviously Greg Rousseau staying healthy. But on those, like, gotta-have-it third-down situations, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 10, whatever it is, my group that I would probably be putting out there would be Bosa and Rousseau, Oliver, and then probably TJ Sanders, or whatever defensive tackle shows that they have the most for that role. Maybe it's Deion Walker, but I think it's going to be TJ Sanders. And I think that's a much better and kind of more balanced unit than they've had in years past. Like, we talk about Jordan Phillips just now. Jordan Phillips, made one of the biggest defensive plays of the game against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship with a sack of Patrick Mahomes, I think on second down in the red zone to force third and really long. And that's when the Bills forced a field goal and then got the ball back, only down three. We're talking about Jordan Phillips now as a practice squad call-up elevation, or what we think that's going to be. He was out there in that situation for the Bills just because they didn't have any other options. So I just do feel like they'll be able to overcome the injuries. They'll be able to overcome the adversity because they just have so many more guys there.
Matt, you brought up the name of Walker, and I'll throw Jackson in there also. From the start of training camp until now, what I really liked about those two players is the improvement we've seen. And, of course, that's what you hope to see from a rookie. You know, maybe it's not going to go great right off the bat, you know, because they're learning and that type of thing. But they both seem to really have made strides in their games as training camp and preseason has gone on. Have you seen the same thing from those two?
Yeah, and I'll specifically speak more to Deion Walker just because I feel like the strides from him are larger, like no pun intended. I just think that he has done a lot for this team the last couple weeks, and the praise that he is getting from some of his peers is pretty impressive. Like, I had a conversation with Connor McGovern and David Edwards probably on Thursday, and we spoke for about half an hour, and one of the questions I asked them was about young defensive linemen who have impressed them, and they immediately got to Deion Walker and were like, we think this guy is going to be really, really good. So to have that type of praise coming from a couple of veterans who have seen a lot in this league, I think it's a really good sign for a player like him. Landon Jackson still has a long way to go, and that's to be expected. Deion Walker does as well. I don't think Landon Jackson is like a slam dunk to be active on game days. I think that might take a little bit of time for him to get up to that role, but I could absolutely see like a rotational younger AJ Epenesa type role for a player like Landon Jackson, which is not nothing. Like, that is still certainly something teams want to have for just situational football. Maybe you bring him in on second down. Maybe he's somebody who can be, you know, a little bit of extra added depth while you wait for Michael Hoyt to come back. So the way I'm envisioning in my head is that their top rotation of defensive ends is Greg Rousseau and Joey Bosa. And then after week six, their second rotation is probably Michael Hoyt and AJ Epenesa. And then after that, it's probably, you know, some sort of combination of Solomon and Landon Jackson.
Matt Beauvais from Channel 7 WKBW-TV joining us on the Western Hotline here on WGR. Also a co-host with our own Sal Capaccio on the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. Matt, certainly another position that I think is going to be interesting in a way to look at it heading into roster cutdown day is at corner. Just given the fact of there's still so much uncertainty surrounding the Tre'Davious White injury. You've already got Max Harrison who's battling back from his own knee injury. There's still no timeline in terms of when he might be back. What questions do you have in terms of that cornerback's room and just how things kind of play out heading into decision day on Tuesday?
It starts with the injury for Tre'Davious White and the timeline for Max Harrison, because I feel like those will have a direct impact on ultimately who makes the roster. If Trey White's injury spills into the regular season, and at this point we don't know if that's the case, then I wonder if they go out and they get somebody else. I think it would be easy to assume that that would be Dane Jackson, but Dane Jackson played really late into this final preseason game, and I don't think that necessarily is a great sign for him. And if you're without Trey White and Max Harrison isn't ready to come back, like, I think there's a chance he starts on IR and misses the first 4 weeks. Then who plays corner opposite Christian Benford? My guess would maybe be Dorian Strong, maybe Jamarcus Ingram, but I don't think that either of those options give you a ton of confidence this early in the season, and then with a player like Strong this early into his career. So then, like, do you call Rasul Douglas just because he knows the defense? But would he even be interested if he was just bridging the gap for Trey White and Max Harrison? I don't know if that would be the case. So that is the position that I have the most, I guess, intrigue surrounding, not the position I'm the most concerned with. The position I'm the most concerned with is safety, but cornerback is definitely one that I'm going to be really interested to see how this next, like, 36 hours plays out.
I did get a little more comfortable with safety seeing Cole Bishop yesterday.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, 2 days ago. I thought much better is what I was thinking as I was watching him play. Still, there's ways to go, and as he gets more opportunity to get reps, I think he'll get better. But at least I thought it was a pretty large improvement from what we had seen the week before, you know, when he was out there.
And I like Jordan Hancock, too. I like the way that he played before he got that shoulder injury.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think Hancock had maybe like an outside chance at even winning a job if he didn't get the injury. I still think that he's got a bright and promising future. The thing that concerns me about the safety position a little bit is obviously the questions with Cole Bishop, but Taylor Rapp just plays a style of football where he does get banged up. And if he sustains some sort of injury, I don't know what they're going to do. If they're just going to roll with Damar Hamlin again, or do they give Hancock the opportunity to go play alongside Cole Bishop, or is it somebody else? Do they like Cam Lewis as kind of being the Mr. Steady and reliable guy who can do a little bit of everything? I just don't feel like the position is super deep. Like, they signed Derek Forrest, and I thought that he might make some noise. I don't really think he has a chance of making the 53-man roster. We still have the questions with Cole Bishop. Taylor Rapp has gotten banged up in his career, so his availability is a concern. Jordan Hancock is still somebody who there's a lot of unknowns around. So the only one we kind of really know what they are, or the only two that I guess we know who they are Taylor Rapp and Damar Hamlin. And that was the safety room for much of last year, and it just simply wasn't good enough. So that's why, you know, if Cole Bishop can come in and play really solid and they stay healthy, then I think it'll be manageable and it'll be fine. But it's if they sustain one injury there, I don't feel like they're nearly as deep as they are at some other positions.
Back to the offensive side of the football, Matt. I know that we talked a lot about Tyrell Shavers, and I agree, again, that I think he's made the 53-man roster, especially with the performance he's put up against the Buccaneers and really throughout training camp and the preseason. Then it gets to a little bit of a questionable aspect of who else is a part of that group. I mean, Shakir Coleman, Josh Palmer, I think are locks. Then you get to Shavers, who I think is a lock. Then you have one more spot, likely, and it becomes Curtis Samuel, becomes Elijah Moore, becomes Laviska Shenault, who's obviously been a kick returner throughout the preseason and getting in that the reps there. I'm interested to see if they are sold on having Curtis Samuel sticking around, if they're really sold with the way Elijah Moore, I felt he had a more up and down preseason than maybe he should have. I'm just intrigued what you think about the receivers role.
I think they're going to keep six, and I think it's going to be the three that you mentioned is kind of the locks with Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and Josh Palmer. Then I think they keep Shavers, I think they keep Curtis Samuel, and I think they keep Elijah Moore. That's what I think ultimately happens. I think they would be searching for potentially a Curtis Samuel trade partner, but if that's not out there, then I just don't know if they would be willing to take on that dead cap hit for a player not on their roster, even though they've done it in the past. I just feel like he still provides you some sort of promise. And I mean, like, Curtis Samuel caught the game tying touchdown in the fourth quarter last year in the AFC Championship and was playing his best football at the end of the year. So I still think that that is somebody who they believe in, especially in a rotational role. Elijah Moore, I personally believe, will look better and more comfortable and explosive when he's out there with Josh Allen in the first team offense. And he's, you know, gotten a lot of run with that kind of in practice. Obviously, that hasn't transferred over to the games. And then Tyrell Shavers being out there and then getting a handful of special team snaps in that preseason finale, I think is a good sign for him. So if they're going to do that, then they need to figure out who's going to be their primary kick returner, because that would mean Shenault isn't going to make the team. And if that's the case, then I would imagine it's Brandon Codrington, but he hasn't done anything to, you know, completely solidify that question mark as well. But I don't see them just cutting Curtis Samuel or Elijah Moore. The more I think about it, the more I just don't see them doing that, especially because then you're an injury away from somebody getting elevated into a role that maybe you don't feel comfortable about. And having those guys available, I think, could be an asset for the team.
I have huge concerns about Elijah Moore, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. I can't envision them cutting him either. But through training camp, through practices, he has the dropsies. And I just don't receivers that drop the football, just to me, drive me insane. And he'd be probably one of my first cuts if I were in charge. Now, of course, there's salary cap and ramifications and those types of things. I have quite honestly liked Hamler more than I've liked Moore throughout practices, throughout games, and everything else. But what you said could be right. Maybe when he's out there with Josh Allen. Now, he is out there, Josh Allen, during practice. Mm-hmm. And it's the drops that really drive me crazy that I see. There's just way too many of them. But maybe once the regular season starts and he's there, you will see a better football player. But I just have been thoroughly unimpressed by Elijah Moore.
Yeah, the summer has not gone according to plan because he was somebody who I had pretty high hopes for with the Bills. And now, you know, we're talking about whether or not he's even going to make the roster. My thought process going into a lot of the offseason was, well, look what he did with the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. Those are not great quarterbacks or situations. I think he could just be scratching the surface of what he could ultimately be. The thing I think the Bills like with a player like Elijah Moore is that there is some versatility to his game of where he can line up. I think theoretically, everybody could probably move a little bit all over the place, but if there was an injury to Shakir, I think Elijah Moore would be the person we see in that role. And then if they need him to line up on the boundary, I think he still can. And he does separate, which is something that the Bills have been looking for, is wide receivers who can separate, just because some of the other skill sets and the guys they have don't necessarily do that extremely well. I don't disagree, though, Paul. I don't think it's been a great summer. Like, it has not gone nearly as well as I thought it was going to. I thought he was going to be a training camp darling, especially before the pads came on, and that was not the case. But then you get to the Curtis Samuel part. I mean, he missed basically all of training camp and didn't play in any preseason games. So there's questions there, too. And if there's questions there, then I feel like with Elijah Moore, the contract is so reasonable that I think you just kind of have to keep him.
Well, Matt, feel free to give a quick plug on what you got coming up at Channel 7 and what you've got featured coming out right before the start of the regular season here in a few days.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we've got our Monday show, Leading the Charge, every Monday night. It's with some guy named Howard Simon, who just keeps showing up to the studio, and we just don't have the heart to tell him to go away. So he's on the show every night, and then Joe Biscaglia, myself, Dom Tibbetts, we do it every single Monday night from now until whenever the Bills are done playing football. So I know a lot of fans are hoping we're going into mid-February. This is certainly the busiest time of year, but I will say, also pretty excited for hockey season, so I can start bugging Paul in person at the rink every once in a while.
Well, we were just talking earlier, we're actually kind of excited for hockey season. It doesn't start soon after the football season gets underway, so we're looking forward to that. Well, Matt, thanks again for taking some time today to join us and talk some football. We'll talk again soon. Enjoy the football season ahead, and hope you enjoy the rest of this wonderful Monday today as well.
Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Matt Bovee from WKBW Channel 7 here in Buffalo, also a co-host with our own Sal Capaccio on the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. 803-0550 is the number here to join us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 1-888-550-2550 are the toll-free numbers to get a hold of us here. And if you want to get connected with us, we will be happy to do so. Getting connected with the fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll come back after a short time out here, and Paul, we'll get your thoughts on in terms of what you're looking forward to the most with the positional battles as we get into roster cutdown day and as we're looking ahead to the start of the regular season coming up on September 7th against the Ravens. We'll do that, and then we'll talk some more football stuff coming up here. Breeton Wilson, Paul Hamilton filling in here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Ferguson snaps, and the kick is pretty darn good.
Holy smokes.
A driven spiral sending him back to his 12-yard line. Through a hole, though, Cameron Johnson out to the 35. That was a 61-yard punt by Zach Davidson.
Yeah, that was the true highlight from Sunday night. Pure peak preseason football right there, Paul. Zach Davidson, Bills tight end, booting a 62-yard punt. I know that he was a former punter at, I think he went to, what, San Diego State, if I remember correctly. But he booted that ball. Heck of a way down the field, and that was peak preseason football highlights there. That's going to be one of those that you pin up on the wall of memories from Bills preseason games.
That was amazing, too. And usually when your punter gets hurt, the kicker has to come out and punt, and it doesn't usually go well, the place kicker.
Right.
And so now at least they know if he's on the roster that they're covered if their punter ever gets injured, because my jaw dropped when I saw that. I thought, well, maybe, you know, he's punted before in college, but I was expecting maybe a 25-yard punt or something
right.
like that. I wasn't expecting that.
No. And I think Zach Davidson probably is another guy that may end up his way onto the practice squad. I know he's been a part of the practice squad for the last couple of years. I think the 1 year he had torn his ACL, so he didn't even really, he was just on injured reserve the whole year. But I know last year he was on the practice squad, got a game or two call up from the practice squad, and I feel like he's part of that now, because I think the Bills really like what they saw out of rookie Jackson Hawes out of the preseason and out of training camp. They seem to utilize him pretty well over the last few games in the preseason and in training camp. I think they like what he brings, especially if maybe Alec Anderson's not going to be out there. He'll kind of be like that, almost that swing sort of tackle, even though he's a tight end blocking sort of style player.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, they like the fact, and they like the fact, even when we're talking about Alec Anderson, is how long this line has been together, and for the most part, they have, you know, stayed fairly injury free. I mean, you're never going to be injury free all the time, but they like the fact that they've just been able to stay together almost as six guys and five, and they just know where each other are going to be. They can communicate with each other quickly, you know, during a game or a practice situation. They have pizza parties together, which, you know, is important. You know, bonding as a group is important. I mean, I laugh, but, you know, just to get together and do things like that is an important part of bonding and developing a team. Now, of course, it's not the most important thing, but it's all part of it. And, you know, Anderson is definitely a part of all that.
Paul Hamilton joining us here on The Extra Point Show is myself, Brayton Wilson, filling in today on The Extra Point Show. And then we're talking on The Extra Point Show here on WGR. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 are the numbers, is the number if you want to get to us. The toll-free number, if you need it, is 1-888-550-2550. All right, Paul, let's get back to the discussion point today and get your thoughts in terms of the position group that intrigues you the most heading into the regular season. If you missed it, you can vote on social media, on my Twitter poll at Brayton J. Wilson, between receiving group, which is wide receivers, tight ends, the defensive front with defensive end and defensive tackle, the secondary with cornerback and safety, or if you have another one, you're more than welcome to join us on social media or over the phone lines as well. Paul, haven't heard from you on which position group intrigues you. Do you have a thought you'd like to chime in with that?
I've kind of, with our guests, gotten into it with the wide receivers, just because, you know, now he's not on the bubble, but I'll just bring up the name of Keon Coleman. I mean, there are some folks that believe the way the Bills want to use him just is not going to be something he's going to be able to do in his career. I think he can be a good NFL player. I think there's attributes that, you know, he can go up and get a football that other guys can't get with that type of ability. So just to see what kind of progress he has made as he comes into his second season in the NFL, what has he picked up? What has he worked on? And see, can he help them more than maybe he did last year? Because we saw flashes, and then he got hurt, and then it didn't happen anymore for him. And that's all a learning process too, you know, in your first year and you get hurt. Well, how do I handle that? You know, how do I come back from that? And so, you know, he learned something there. So he's very intriguing to me. You know, what kind of season he has, what kind of improvement can we see from him, and what kind of receiver is he going to be? I was on the air on TV when Curtis Samuel was signed, and I know I gave them the what? I did not think – I liked him as a player in Carolina a lot, but I did not like him as a player in Washington all that much, to be quite honest with you. I didn't see that same player when he played for the Commanders that I saw in Carolina. Now, the Bills, and when they're going by what they saw basically in Carolina probably when they were all around him. You know, a lot of the people in the Bills organization. So, but, you know, injuries have really taken away can he get back to that with a Bill? He did a little bit, you know, when he got back, when we saw him near the end of the season. But, I don't know. Do they have the Curtis Samuel, the Carolina Curtis Samuel, or do they have the Washington Curtis Samuel? If they have the Washington Curtis Samuel, you can cut him today, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
I just when they signed, there were a couple of receivers, and I think there were three of them that last year there. I was just like, why are they signing them? And type of a thing. So, you know, with him, we talked about Elijah Moore. I just have been thoroughly unimpressed with Elijah Moore, watching him in training camp, dropping the football. He does have the attributes that Matt Bovee was talking about. The reason he's here is because he can get separation on routes, but if you're getting separations, and honestly, I believe, this is my opinion, I think that one of the reasons Gabe Davis didn't get a contract offer, you know, the first time he was with the Bills, he made some big plays. There's no question he made some big plays as a Buffalo Bill. Go tune into that that shootout with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Or don't.
Yeah.
Knowing the outcome.
But he was a guy that dropped the football a lot in big situations. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that was part of the reason why they weren't willing to give him a crazy contract as a wide receiver. That might have been part of the reason that they didn't. So it's so important when you got a receiver that in key situations, I mean, the Bills went 3-and-out. Well, the Bills went 3-and-out. Well, the Bills went 3-and-out. Well, yeah, but how many of those 3-and-outs were because the guy dropped a first down, or which could have kept a drive alive, and then who knows what the drive could have turned into. And then I scratch my head and I'll ask the question. Because I don't have the answer. What happened to Christian Wilkerson? Boy, the people were all, everybody was writing about him, and boy, Christian Wilkerson, he's been great. And then all of a sudden he's fallen off the map in the last month.
Yeah.
I haven't even heard his name brought up.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like what happened to him when it came to what he might be able to do for the team.
Yeah. Quick side note, Paul, you made mention of the Washington Commanders. News breaking here in the NFL circles. Terry McLaurin has agreed to a 3-year contract extension with the Commanders that will pay him up to $96 million. So that hold-in situation has officially ended. So for people that were maybe clamoring about bringing in Terry McLaurin from Washington, that's not going to happen.
Isn't this exactly how the Chase thing wound up.
Every Holden has been this way.
It's exactly.
Doesn't matter what position it is.
And I remember, and I don't mean to bring it up because who cares about fantasy football? I enjoy it, but whatever. But I remember when I was preparing, I think, I don't know if I want to take him. If he goes into the season, I think he'll play, but he's not going to be happy because he's going to be wanting, they won't pay me. Should I take him? And then, you have your draft, and like the next day he signs. It's like, okay. Well, that answers all that questions, as I didn't take him. But that's why I remember it, just because of that type of a situation where, it just didn't look like anything was going to happen. Then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, no, we're not trading him. We're actually signing him. And it's right before the season starts. And here we are again with what the Commanders did.
I'm intrigued with the wide receiver group, Paul, just because I'm not sure if they are 100% sold on Curtis Samuel or Elijah Moore or even Tyrell Shavers for that matter. I think, again, Shavers plays well enough to get himself onto the 53-man roster, and maybe he'll get some action over the course of the upcoming season. But I really do believe that there could be the realistic possibility that they reunite with Gabe Davis at some point over the course of this coming season. Now, it could be after they announce the 53-man roster, then they finagle something else where maybe Gabe Davis comes in and plays on the practice squad to start, sort of maybe similar to Jordan Phillips, which I agree with Matt Bovee too, by the way. Jordan Phillips, I think, is more so a lock to sign on the practice squad right away and then maybe eventually work his way onto the roster.
I believe that's not happening.
Okay. Because the way that I saw, I can't remember who it was with, I think it was Rappaport or something like that, just saying like he's going to sign to the Bills roster later this week. If it was kind of like maybe like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'd say, okay, practice squad, great, there you go, you got it, you got yourself your practice squad member, Jordan Phillips. But
that's not happening now,
right?
That doesn't mean it can't happen in 6 weeks,
right?
When you get a guy back or something like that,
right?
That's the way I read that. But that's not happening now.
Yeah, sorry, I'm kind of jumbled here. Back to the receiver point. I something just inside of me says that they're bound to bring Gabe Davis back in some capacity going into the season.
I wouldn't be hugely for that unless they are devastated by injuries.
I know.
And again, I get back to the same reason, drops. I just think that kills drives, and you just need receivers that can hang on to the football. People forget too with KJ Hamler. He has a resume in Denver. Unfortunately, injuries stopped. His growth or whatever it is.
Yeah, his development.
He played some good games in Denver. And I've liked what I've seen here from him.
Mm-hmm.
With the way he's played here with the Bills and in training camp and everything. So this isn't just a rookie off the street or a free agent that doesn't have a resume. He does have a bit of a resume. And, again, injuries have kind of curtailed his career. But I've liked his preseason. But, Wilkerson, the way people were talking, the way he was in OTAs and in the beginning of training camp, you would have thought he was almost a lock to make the team. But I just haven't heard a thing about him in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing who's part of the 16-man practice squad that they put together every year. I think, there's some interesting names that could be part of the picture. Obviously, with quarterback, it's interesting to see what they do. Do they keep Mike White? Do they keep Shane Bouchel? Do they keep both of them? Like, I don't know what their plan is for the third quarterback on this roster. The wide receivers are interesting because KJ Hamler has been here last year. I think he could easily be back this year. Do they keep Christian Wilkerson? Do they keep Laviska Shenault on the practice squad as call-up guys potentially? I think Zach Davidson's a lock. And then you kind of go through the rest of the roster. Okay, what about a guy like Jimmy Charlo? If he's not making the roster, does he at least make the practice squad? Is he a guy that they keep around? Is a guy like Dane Jackson, who we made mention of earlier, is he a guy that maybe he doesn't make the roster, but is that veteran presence at corner that makes the roster or that makes the practice squad and sticks around? And again, obviously the outside options, they could look to somebody else that I know maybe gets waived and then they go through waivers and officially get released, and then maybe they say, all right, you can join the Bills, but you're gonna have to sign with the practice squad. Maybe I'm really looking forward to seeing how that all breaks down. I know the 53-man roster is one thing, but the 16-man practice squad is almost just as intriguing intriguing because it's just like, okay, who didn't just make it to the regular roster that could be part of the practice squad and still be here, but also had that threat of just at a whim's notice just being like, oh, hey, this team is plucking your guy off your practice squad and bringing them in and signing them to their roster.
Yeah, and Shane Bouchel, I really liked him yesterday.
Yeah.
I keep saying yesterday. It's because I watched the game yesterday because I was out of town.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he's going to be the backup or anything like that. But the interesting thing is, what are the Bills looking for? What's Brady as offensive coordinator looking for here? Mike White definitely is ahead of Trubisky by leaps and bounds when it comes to natural ability, athletic ability. There's no question about that. To me, Trubisky is ahead of Mike White leaps and bounds when it comes to football IQ.
Yep.
And intelligence. I mean, Trubisky knows where the play needs to go. He can read the defense quickly. He can compute things quickly. But I don't think, not that he's not a good athlete, but I don't think he's the athlete Mike White is, or can do the things with the football that Mike White can. So what is Brady as an offensive coordinator looking for out of the backup? Because they're just like almost total opposites in what they do and what they bring to the table.
Yeah, it's clear, Mike, that Mitch Trubisky is the number two. And I like Mike White. I think that he's a solid number three, but nothing more, really. I mean, not on this team. I think Mitch Trubisky, for what Joe Brady has put together and for what he's implementing with this offense, I think that Mitch Trubisky is better set to back up Josh Allen in case of worst case scenario and break glass in case of emergency. Mitch Trubisky is that guy that, while he's not going to be the MVP that Josh Allen was, I know Mitch Trubisky is the MVP, Paul. He's the Nickelodeon's valuable player from years ago, but not even close to what Josh Allen, but it's very hard to replicate what Josh Allen can do. But I think Mitch Trubisky is that quarterback that is the one that could be closest to what you can get with the offense under, you know, Josh Allen is Mitch Trubisky under center. And then other than that, you know, yeah, I think Shane Bouchel, I'm happy that Shane Bouchel performed the way he did. Wasn't it, like, I was watching back some of the highlights yesterday and watching back some of the game, Paul, yesterday. He had, like, three incompletions early, and then the rest of the game, he only missed on one or two passes the rest of the way, right?
Yeah, definitely. It was really an impressive performance, I thought, by him. Again, you know, when he got pressure, be able to get out of the pressure and then try to make a play once he gets out of pressure, whatever that play may be, whether it's with his legs or with his arm, to get the team downfield and get some points. And, you know, he had some key third down conversions because of that, I thought. You know, Tampa Bay at the end of the half was calling timeouts because they thought they were going to get the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Bouchel just kind of chipped away at that. It was a long – the reason they did that, I think they sacked him, I think it was. I don't think it was a penalty. I think they sacked him, and it made second and long. And it gave, you know, Tampa, all right, we can get the ball back. And they're right. I'd be calling timeouts too. I don't disagree with that. But then at third down, he got it to third and fairly manageable. It was like third and 10-ish, something like that, and got the first down. Made a nice throw. And got the first down. So, you know, I was impressed by what I saw by him, and I do agree that, you know, what are the, you know, when I ask you the question, what are the Bills looking for in their backup quarterback? And I think you want the cerebral guy over the athletic guy, I think, just because, you know, the cerebral guy's not going to make as many mistakes under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to know when this isn't the time to take a chance. Let's live to play another day. Or, you know, read the defense, where the defense takes you, and just take what the defense gives you. So I understand it. Now, I'll be quite honest with you. I don't know if you agree with that. I think if Josh Allen gets hurt for more than a couple of games, I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think either one of them can win football games for this team consistently. Can they get you through a game? Can they get you through Josh Allen being out for a game or two? Maybe.
Yeah.
And even if you have Josh Allen out for, well, he's got to miss one game. Well, even you don't want to lose a game, but even if you lose that one game, that probably doesn't blow up your season unless you need it to win in game 16 of the year. But if you're in game four, you know, well, if we lose one game here, we can come back from that type of a thing. So, but I have no confidence whatsoever that if Josh Allen were to get hurt for more than a game or two, that any quarterback on this team could get them through it.
Well, Paul, there's one more position and one more player in particular that I want to get to you with when we come back from the break about a guy that I'm questioning whether or not he would make the practice squad if he is indeed part of the cuts. And I think he's going to be part of the cuts, but a guy that I question as making it to the practice squad after Tuesday. We'll get to that after this break here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hand off to Gore, up the middle, lunging for the goal line, and the line judge says he has it. Touchdown, Buffalo!
All right, that was Frank Gore's touchdown from the win on Saturday night over the Buccaneers. Paul, real quick, do you believe that Frank Gore, if he does not make the 53-man roster, which I don't believe he's going to given the situation, do you think that he could make it to the practice squad, or do you think he's a name that could be looked at by other teams?
It didn't help him that he got the ball knocked out of his hands after he made a good play in one of the preseason games.
That's true, yes.
McDermott hates that, but yeah, I do think he could make the practice squad,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right, maybe I'm just overthinking it. I don't know. I feel like that he could be a guy that maybe could get plucked somewhere else, especially if there's
a team
that
but
has
I think
a problem
they would try
backs.
It. Yeah, they would try to.
For sure. Well, Paul, thanks for jumping on with me today and joining me for the couple hours for the Extra Points show. We'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Yes, we'll see you in September.
Yes, exactly, especially with hockey season right around the corner as well. That'll do it for us on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Coming up next is Sabres Live, I believe, still. Yes, I know that they're going to be soon giving way for One Bills Live on Mondays, but that'll do it for us, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks again for tuning in, and you're listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.